Michael.
Peter.
How familiar are you with meme stocks?
Not super familiar, but I do know that if you want to get rich, it's very obvious that you should start with the place you also go to buy a used copy of Banjo-Kazooie.
We purposefully refuse to commit to any particular subject matter for our bonus episodes, but I think we've largely stayed to this point within the framework of like media critique. Mm-hmm. And this is the first episode where the primary justification is that I just want to talk about this. I've been in a Reddit rabbit hole on this for 2 years on my own.
I'm so excited.
Losing my mind. And now I have a platform and I'm just going to dump it all on you and our listeners.
The only reason I'm doing this is because this opens the door for me to eventually do an episode about Eurovision. I'm glad we made it.
So this is basically the story of how a widely publicized breakout in the stock of the video game retailer GameStop in January 2021 grew into a full-blown cult predicated around an elaborate conspiracy theory.
I love this shit.
So did you follow the original sort of GameStop stock run-up in 2021?
All of this financial stuff I treat like sports. People mm-hmm. clearly care a lot about it, but like, I don't get it. Mm-hmm. So it was one of those stories that I just looked at and was like, no, I'm just not going to investigate what's actually going on here. Mm-hmm. My understanding was it was like, there were some subreddits and it was like some dumbasses who were basically shorting the stock of GameStop, I guess.
Yeah, that is the basics. Mm-hmm. I am going to start from the beginning here, which is a little bit before the events that sort of entered the media spotlight. Mm-hmm. In 2019, a man named Keith Gill, a financial analyst under the social media handles Roaring Kitty and Deep Fucking Value, started to publicize on investing forums and on his YouTube channel a thesis that GameStop, the video game retailer, was not headed for bankruptcy, as many investors expected, but would show surprising resilience and, in fact, be successful moving forward.
So this whole thing starts with someone thinking that, like, a video game store is going to make it?
That's right. GameStop had brought in a new chairman, okay. Ryan Cohen, who founded the online pet store Chewy.
Okay.
According to Gill and I think some others, there was like a coherent plan to turn the company around, shift away from brick and mortar retail, move it into e-commerce. This is something that's like relatively common in investing spaces where there are companies that are sort of on the surface just going down, right?
Yeah.
But there are people that believe in the turnaround story. Mm-hmm. And some of them turn around and some don't.
Right.
But you can often make a lot of money by getting these right, because when everyone believes one thing and you believe the other thing and you're right, that's a good way to make money.
It seemed like the fundamental fact was that like GameStop is pretty doomed mm-hmm. because the vast majority of people now buy video games online.
Yeah.
So the idea of like going to a store to like browse video games, nothing about a video game store makes any sense to me. So it just seemed from my distance, obviously any video game store is going to go the way of Blockbuster.
I think that their response to that, just to give it like a high level, is twofold. One, there was some like loose plans to do digital sales. Mm-hmm. You would buy your like digital token for a game through GameStop and then you download it to your console. That sort of adds a middleman to the whole process that you don't need.
Yeah, I don't know why I would do that, but okay.
Whatever. The other part of it, which I think is a bigger part of it, is that they were going to pivot away from games themselves and towards things like accessories. They're selling like Funko Pop.
Okay.
They're doing like video game adjacent things.
Okay.
Selling things that are part of nerd culture, stuff like that.
Right. Fidget spinners, 20-sided dice. Yes.
Yeah. So Keith Gill is posting about this in a couple of places. One is his YouTube channel again. The other is the subreddit Wall Street Bets.
Yes.
Do you know what Wall Street Bets is?
No, I only know it from this absurd controversy.
Wall Street Bets is a subreddit, a Reddit community that's basically just a place where people gamble, but with stocks.
Okay.
It's not really a community of investors. It's like an investment-themed gambling community.
Okay.
The main attraction has always been that every now and then, someone will post screenshots of their extremely high-risk, high-reward investment plays, and the community will follow along as they either make or lose a small fortune.
Oh, my God.
A big key feature of the community is that sort of like classically online ironic detachment and self-awareness, mm-hmm. right? Like they know that this is all degenerate. They know that it's stupid. Mm-hmm. They lean into that. They have fun with it.
Okay.
They call themselves the R word.
Nice.
That's like how they refer to themselves.
Great. Good sign. We're on good firm ground already.
Well, you have to keep in mind, this is a different time. This is 2 years ago. So the community does not actually particularly give a shit about Keith Gill's investment thesis, because that's not really what they care about. They care for a couple of reasons. One is that he invests $53,000 into call options on the stock. You don't need to understand call options, but they are essentially a high risk, high reward way to invest in a stock.
Is that the thing where if it reaches a certain point, then you automatically buy it?
Not automatically, but yes. It's a right to buy shares at a certain price. So it's just sort of a volatile way to invest. It's like part of an aggressive portfolio strategy, shall we say, and you can readily lose and win a fortune, which means that options tend to be the focus of a lot of these communities.
This is why I put all my money in baseball cards.
To understand the conspiracy theory that I'm about to explain, you need to understand the basics of shorting stocks and short squeezes. So when you buy a stock, you're just buying equity in the company, right? If the value of the company goes up, your stock goes up, you've made money. But if you want to bet that the price of a stock goes down, there's no like security you can just buy on the market that reflects that. So you do a little trick. You borrow shares from a third party with the promise that you will return them. You sell those shares on the open market. When the price goes down, you buy the shares back from the market,
right,
and return them to the person you borrowed from.
Right.
That allows you to pocket the difference between what the price was when you first borrowed and what it is now.
That I kind of understand, because you're basically making money if the stock goes down, essentially.
That is the bottom line, right? You are making money when the stock goes down. You just need to do a little bit of trickery, borrowing from one person and selling and then buying it back to do it.
Yeah.
Now, this whole dynamic presents the possibility of what's called a short squeeze. If you are shorting a stock and the price goes up rapidly, you might want to close your position to minimize your losses. And again, that just means you buy the shares back on the open market and you return them to the lender.
Right.
But if other people are shorting the stock, they will be looking to close their positions too.
Okay.
Meaning that they would also need to buy the shares to return to their respective borrowers. That creates demand for the stock, which drives the price up. And that creates a bit of a spiral, right? Price is going up, which causes short sellers to close their positions, which drives the price up further.
You lose money once the stock starts to go up, and then you try, you're like scrambling to buy shares, but there's all these other people scrambling to buy shares too. And then the stock goes up even more. And then there's even more people who are like, oh, fuck, I have to buy this back.
Yes.
And then it just gets worse and worse.
That is the essence of a short squeeze. Price is going up. Short sellers are trying to close their positions out, and that's driving the price up further.
Mm-hmm.
So Keith Gill and others noticed that GameStop was very heavily shorted. Many major institutions thought the company was going to fail for the reasons that you outlined as relatively common sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're taking short positions. At the peak, it was reported that the short interest in GameStop was 140%, meaning that for every share of GameStop, there were 1.4 shares sold short.
Okay.
That can happen because the same shares are being borrowed more than once.
Okay.
Investors on Wall Street Bets and similar forums realize that there's an opportunity here, right? If they all start buying shares of GameStop, the price goes up and triggers a short squeeze. They can cash out their shares for tons of money after the squeeze occurs, and they're driving the price up, and the institutions that are short are trying to cover their positions.
Right.
They see that as a money-making opportunity. And more than that, a sort of David versus Goliath narrative angle develops, right?
Right.
The people who are shorting GameStop are large institutions, hedge funds, etc. So not only are casual investors potentially going to get rich, but they'd be making the profit off of like these huge financial institutions, right?
Right. This is like when the K-pop stans made it impossible to get tickets to like some Trump rally in like Nevada by like spamming all of the links to get tickets.
Yeah, it's the power of the social media mob, right? All all singularly focused on one objective.
Yeah.
This idea picks up steam in January 2021. At the turn of the new year, the price for GameStop stock is about $5 a share. A few weeks later, it's up to 10, and then it doubles to 20 in one day.
Okay.
And that gets the attention of like mainstream media. So people start reporting on it. People on Reddit are starting to like spread the word across Reddit and other social media. More people start buying in. Culminates during the last week of January when internet users of all types are just aggressively buying up the stock. The price gets driven up to nearly at one point $500.
No fucking way. It went up that much?
Yes. Very briefly, but it was in the very high 400s.
No way.
And then comes the event that will spawn the web of conspiracy theories that we are going to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
The app that most individual investors were using to trade their stocks on was Robinhood, a little iOS mostly app that has like a cool stock interface. And so young people liked it.
Yeah, I know it from the ads on Planet Money.
That's the only place
I've ever heard it. Yes.
In the app, the buy button disappears for GameStop stock. You can not buy the stock anymore. You can only sell it.
Okay.
Several other brokerages either did the same or otherwise restricted trading in the stock.
Okay.
At least partially as a result, the price plummets.
I didn't know they could do that. You just can't buy a stock?
This is something that they are within their rights to do. It's like, you know, deep in the terms of service. The primary reason that the brokerages provide is that they restricted trading in order to meet collateral requirements with the clearinghouses they use. Without getting into the mechanics, brokerages work with clearinghouses to fulfill stock orders. And those clearinghouses require them to maintain collateral capital to ensure that the brokerages can handle all of the trades that the clearinghouses are dealing with. In other words, to ensure that they will have the money at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
As the number of trades shoots up, and you're getting an enormous volume of trades because this is so widely publicized, so do their collateral requirements. And so in order to maintain their requirements, they restricted trading. They basically said, we can't put up the collateral, but we can restrict trading.
So basically, they have to be able to put up some sort of upfront fee to buy stocks. But then if like everyone is buying the stock and it is super expensive, they just like can't put up the collateral anymore.
Yeah, there are middlemen in this operation. If you're Robinhood, you route your stock orders through clearinghouses.
Mm-hmm.
When they are handling these trades, they are absorbing a little bit of risk each time.
Right.
So when there are tons of trades, there is a lot of risk.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of the amount of trading that was happening here, unprecedented in like the history of the stock market nearly.
Oh, yeah.
To give you a sense, the Wall Street Bets community on Reddit had like 2 million members before this started, and it ends with 9 million.
Holy shit. Even 2 million is a lot. Damn.
Right. So the number of people that are in on this is massive. I mean, just huge.
Dude.
Every now and then, exchanges and brokers will halt trading in certain securities for like certain periods of time based on volume, based on volatility, things like that. But something like this is pretty unprecedented, where just like you can sell, but you can't buy. It's very unusual. And because of that, a narrative emerges, right?
Yeah.
A bunch of powerful financial players appeared to have colluded to protect the interests of other powerful financial players.
Right.
At the expense of the common investor.
We're trying to stick it to the man, and all of a sudden the man is like, oh, technically, oh, I can't buy these stocks.
Right. And this is not just a fringe conspiracy theory. Prominent politicians are tweeting about it, right?
Oh, yeah.
There are eventually hearings and investigations.
Oh, wow.
To date, there's no clear evidence that anyone violated the law here. But I want to say, if you were investing in GameStop stock at this time, legality aside, you got screwed.
Yeah.
They had a coherent plan, one that perhaps verges into market manipulation, but we won't go in there. But they had a coherent plan. They bought a stock with the hopes that it would go up. And then it went down because the brokerages decided to basically click a button that would, in every single case, make it go down.
Right.
You might not have gotten screwed by illegal behind-the-scenes collusion, but you were at the very least screwed by the, like, abstruse technicalities of modern markets.
Yeah. If I bought it at 500 and then the button disappears, I would be livid.
Right.
Yes.
You know, it's essentially these brokerages digging deep into their terms of service to be like, yeah, we can technically do this.
Right.
No matter what you think of the legality, et cetera, it was deeply unfair. There's no other way to look at it. And when it was happening, I think almost everyone recognized that.
Also, laws are fake.
Right.
It's never that important to me whether something is illegal or not.
That's true. Also true. That's the thing is sometimes we have these discussions about whether something's legal. And as a lawyer, I'm like, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it's all people wrote it. People interpret it, whatever. It's just people doing people stuff.
So when the dust had settled, hedge funds who were short GameStop lost billions.
Okay.
Most prominent among them, Melvin Capital, which lost over half of its total assets that January.
Holy shit.
It was $2 billion and change, I believe. The price of the stock had skyrocketed again near 500 at one point, collapsed back down to $40 or so.
Okay.
If you had gotten in early, you were still way, way up, especially if you cashed out somewhere on the way up.
Yeah.
Keith Gill's $53,000 investment turned into tens of millions.
Yeah, because you said it started at $5. So even just going from $5 to $40 is great.
Right. But the thing is, it started at $5 with a small number of investors in the Wall Street Bets community who were aware of this.
Mm-hmm.
By the time the mainstream was aware of it, was when the price was already shooting up.
Oh, okay.
When the price had hit, you know, 80, 100, that's when it was being talked about on like CNBC.
Right.
Most people did not get in early. Most people got in once the hype about all of this had gone viral. And as a result, they were down money.
Yeah.
They were, as we say in the biz, bag holders.
Okay.
People left holding the bag after a big stock run.
99% of the people in an MLM.
That's right.
Just most people.
You know, a lot of the sort of online pump and dump kind of communities that form among like young investors are predicated on this basic concept. If you get in early enough, you'll be the rich one.
Yeah.
But if you're chasing, if you're just a little behind the curve on the virality of what the pump and dump is or whatever, you get left holding the bag.
That's kind of like the fortune favors, the brave bullshit that they were peddling with NFTs. Is it like,
yes,
you have to be the one to get in early because if you wait until like the normies are in, you're going to be the one left holding the bag.
Yep.
But it's like, you want to be one of the savvy people who gets in early. But of course they use that to market to normies who ultimately will end up losing a bunch of fucking money.
Not to mention, it's easy to say, oh, you need to get in early. But when there are 1,000 possible things you can get in early on,
it's basically a lottery ticket.
Right.
Yeah.
So to add insult to injury, Melvin Capital, the hedge fund that got devastated, gets an infusion of cash from a couple of other big hedge funds, Citadel and Point72. To be clear, not entirely charity here. The funds eventually redeem their investment. But it formed a sense that like the big guys, as we suspected, are all in it together against the little guys, right?
Right.
It gets a little bit worse. The Citadel hedge fund is merely the hedge fund arm of Citadel Securities, a much larger financial institution that serves as a market maker, meaning it handles orders for brokerages, including Robinhood.
They're all connected.
Dun, dun, dun. Even worse, the conspiracy goes all the way to the top. Janet Yellen, who in her role as Treasury Secretary plays a part in investigating the matter, has collected hundreds of thousands of dollars in speaking fees at Citadel events.
Oof.
There are other loose connections. Jeff Psaki, a Citadel employee, mm-hmm, is a distant cousin of White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki.
Hell yeah. You can see people going through like Facebook profiles and LinkedIn profiles and like connecting the dots. This is always like the first thing that happens when like internet sleuths get involved.
100%. And initially it was suspected that they were married.
Okay.
It turns out they're like second cousins or something. So you can see this coming together, right? Like we have, mm-hmm, this weird, difficult to understand market tomfoolery.
Mm-hmm.
We have thousands of rightfully disgruntled investors all hanging out in online communities.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a fuzzy web of connections amongst powerful institutions that are all involved. You can see the kindling,
right?
Like for like a big, dumb conspiracy. And I'm here to tell you that it is bigger and dumber than you could ever imagine. Because while I have shown some sympathy for the general sense that this was unfair unjust and that these people have a legitimate grievance. What spawns out of this is spectacularly disconnected from reality.
Okay.
So in the coming weeks and months, and we're talking February to March 2021, the community coalesces around a theory.
Mm-hmm.
All of the institutions that were short GameStop before the big run-up in January 2021 never closed their positions. They are still short GameStop.
Okay.
And when they finally do close their positions, that will be the big short squeeze, and the price will shoot up even further than it previously did.
Oh.
So as long as everyone just holds on and keeps buying GameStop stock, we will all be rich.
Oh.
This is the foundational myth of the GameStop stock cult.
Wait, so just keep investing? Like it turns out we were right all along and we should be buying GameStop and holding it?
Right. You know, the major financial players stepped in to interfere with our plan.
Mm-hmm.
But if we just stay strong, we will eventually cause the short squeeze that we planned to cause.
Okay.
Now, just a couple months after the initial run-up, all indications were that the number of shares sold short was much lower than it had been before.
Mm-hmm.
Like I mentioned, it was 140% of the outstanding shares. FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, showed less than 20% of the available shares were shorted.
Okay.
Firms that provide stock data analytics like Bloomberg were showing the same. So you would think that they would look at that and think, well, okay, the shorts closed their positions. We got screwed. Either move on or maybe file an SEC complaint. You know,
right.
Your options are limited. You know, it sucks, but what can you do?
Yeah.
So what actually happened was that the community claimed that this data was, in fact, part of a massive cover-up by an array of discrete but intertwined financial institutions.
Hell yeah. FINRA's in on it.
Yep.
The lack of evidence is evidence. This is always a good, like,
yes,
chapter of conspiracy theories.
One of the reasons I kind of like this whole story is because you can see all these little conspiracy theory and cult traits in the micro.
Right.
And I watched them develop organically. So I feel very close to it. I feel like I learned a lot about these types of communities.
So were you in Wall Street Bets at the time, Peter? Were you just like gawking?
I wasn't a participant. I started observing when this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the community got conspiratorial, I like zoned in.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, hell yeah. This is right up my alley. I was like,
yeah,
this just appeals to the voyeur in me, where I was just like, oh shit, they're losing their minds. I can't wait to watch. So I will point to something here that is a common feature of many conspiracy theories. For it to be true, the number of people and institutions that would need to be in on it would be truly astounding.
Right.
Right. So every investment fund that is short GameStop would have to be making fraudulent misrepresentations on their financial disclosures to FINRA,
right,
to the SEC.
Right.
The parties on the other side of the shorts, the ones who lend the shares to the short sellers, would also have to be lying to the regulators and the public about their trade, despite not even being the ones shorting the stock. Right.
Right.
All of the data firms like Bloomberg, whose entire business relies on accurately conveying this sort of information,
right,
would also need to be in on it. These stock exchanges would need to be lying. Financial media would have to be either in on it or completely in the dark.
Right.
And of course, regulators across the globe would have to be part of it, because if some 20-somethings on Reddit are figuring this out,
right,
surely they have too. And on top of all of that, the theory here is that GameStop stock will soon skyrocket to unprecedented heights. So not only are these major institutions part of a conspiracy to suppress that information, but they are also choosing themselves not to simply buy a bunch of stock,
right,
and make billions of dollars.
Just do normal stock shit. Just,
right,
buy a stock and then it goes up and then you make money.
To them, the conspiracy is more important than the existence of their wealth,
right,
or whatever.
Right.
Which, if you know anything about hedge fund managers,
I feel like the thing to know about this is, like, you know, say what you will about capitalism, but like, where these things break down is the fact that if there was a vast conspiracy, there is huge financial incentive for one person to come forward about it and like sell a fucking best-selling book.
Right.
Right. Like, any individual member of this would get famous, would get a Pulitzer Prize.
Well, no, because they'd be murdered.
Well, exactly.
Of course, that should go without saying.
But it's like the reason all of these things break down is that like the incentive to keep the secret is basically nothing. And the incentive to like be a whistleblower is huge.
And yeah, you know, once you've like embraced a narrative where nothing is as it seems and everyone is lying, then anything becomes possible.
Yeah.
So at this point in like March, April 2021, we are like through the looking glass. Like skeptics and less interested, less invested parties just sort of dwindle away. The conspiracists become loud enough that the discussion of the issue is banned from Wall Street Bets.
Nice.
Offshoot subreddits dedicated to the conspiracy spring up. All of this actually kind of presents a little bit of an issue because the idea that the stock will shoot up to new heights is sort of like inadequately fantastical given what is now the scope of the conspiracy, right?
Right.
Why would there be a global cover-up to prevent GameStop from going to like $800 a share? It doesn't make a ton of sense. Mm-hmm. So in order to justify the scale of the conspiracy as it is now understood, the theory itself evolves. Not just are the short positions never closed and still open, but they are higher than ever previously believed.
Okay.
Hedge funds have so aggressively shorted GameStop that the number of shares sold short is now multiples of the number of outstanding shares of the company.
Okay.
Theories about how this happened vary. They revolve primarily around the concept of naked shorting, where someone shorts a stock without first borrowing the stock to be shorted. Mm-hmm. Naked shorting is an actual thing. It was cracked down on in the mid-aughts and then essentially made illegal in this form during the financial crisis. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is that the community ends up believing that due to these various illegal machinations, there are more shares of GameStop trading than were legally issued.
Okay.
And not only will there be a short squeeze, there will be a massive, unprecedented short squeeze, which they nickname the mother of all short squeezes.
Oh, God.
Acronym MOAS. I do not know if the acronym was meant as tongue-in-cheek.
Right.
But I am not joking when I say that large percentages of this community to this day believe that when this occurs, the price of GameStop stock will reach into the tens of millions of dollars per share.
No way. They read Rich Dad Poor Dad when he says that stock prices can go to infinity.
This is what happens if you pay yourself first. You will eventually get here. So to be clear, this would leave the market cap of GameStop at something like a minimum of 10 times the current GDP of the entire planet.
Can we also just pause to note that it's so fucking funny that all of this is revolving around fucking GameStop?
It's incredible.
Like the least innovative.
You couldn't think of a dumber company, right? And by the way, I think part of what drew people to this was like a nostalgia.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Not only are we attacking these hedge funds, and by the way, a lot of these people are kids in their early 20s at the time who have vivid memories of the financial crisis of 2008 ruining their families.
Right.
And so there's like open talk of like revenge.
Right.
And I think that GameStop folds into that nicely because like they have nice childhood memories of going and buying video games at GameStop.
It's like Radio Shack or something. It's like you think of it as this like the symbol of like a world that is dying.
Right.
All of the emotions behind this seem totally justifiable. It's just the actual mechanics where it starts to fall apart.
To be clear, if these events that they believe will play out, it would unquestionably destroy the world's economy and leave the investors, the ones posting about it on Reddit, the richest people in human history.
Right.
So this is a doomsday cult.
Right.
If you believe this, you believe that the world as it exists right now will collapse and be rebuilt around the video game retailer GameStop.
When you put it like that, Peter, it's less convincing.
So we are now past the initial conspiracy phase, and we start to hatch a plan. Again, they think that the hedge fund's illegal activity has resulted in there being more shares trading than there are officially issued.
Right. We have phantom shares bouncing around. Okay.
Yes. So they come up with an idea. Every year, public companies hosts an annual shareholder meeting where shareholders generally vote on company initiatives of different types.
Right.
So they say, hey, we've been buying up all the GameStop shares, and we know that there are more shares in existence than the company issued.
Oh, no.
So let's all vote at the shareholder meeting. Let's all buy as many shares as we can, vote at the shareholder meeting. The vote total will exceed the number of shares, and we will have proven our conspiracy right.
So it's going to be like there's 5,000 shares and there's like 8,000 votes.
Right.
And that will prove that there's 3,000 phantom shares floating around.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
So it's hard to express how much effort leading up to the shareholder meeting was put into this plan. It was like a Hillary Clinton rally, just countless posts every day telling people to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And this is sort of in the lead up to what I believe was June 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And then D-Day arrives. And now for a surprise mini If Books Could Kill episode, Michael.
Peter.
Are you familiar with the book When Prophecy Fails?
Oh, God. Are we like going to Switzerland now? Is that where this is going?
Look, there's not really a mini episode.
I got visions of like the protocols of the elders of GameStop. Got very nervous.
When Prophecy Fails is a work of social psychology from the 1950s that tracks a doomsday cult whose members believed that the world would be destroyed in a flood on a certain date.
Okay.
The date comes and goes, but due to social pressure and reinforcement within the group, many members actually become increasingly invested in the prophecy.
Okay.
When the shareholder meeting happens, the votes are tallied, and something like 70% of outstanding shares had cast a vote.
Right. There's like 5,000 shares and 4,000 votes or something. And so it's like, oh.
Yeah. I think at the time, the number of shares was something like 77, 78 million.
Oh, I don't know how many shares.
And the number of votes was something in the 50 millions, low 50s.
Okay.
So the theory takes a big hit, but it is very quickly excused and rationalized away. New strategies for exposing the malfeasance emerge, the most prominent of which to this day is for members to directly register their shares of the stock, meaning that rather than using brokerages to purchase stock, you have your shares directly registered in your name.
Okay.
This prevents your shares from being borrowed for shorting, and the amount of directly registered shares is reported by the company in its filings. So again, it serves as a sort of way of tallying the shares that they have.
Okay.
That effort starts in fall of 2021 and continues to this day. They have registered something like 25% of all outstanding shares, which is an enormous number, frankly, but far from proving a conspiracy. Now, in late 2021, the SEC releases a report about the whole January 2021 fiasco. The report found that very shortly after the January run-up, the percentage of shares sold short had plummeted to somewhere between 50 and 20%. They said that they found no evidence of naked shorting. The community ignored this,
of course,
and instead grabbed on to other language in the report that they thought validated their thesis.
Which is great because like the SEC is probably like in on it. But then also there's like little clues in their report that prove that we're right. So it's like the document is both invalid and evidence at the same time.
Right.
Love it.
So that's late 2021. It is now 2023. In some ways, nothing has happened since then. And in some ways, something wild in these communities happens every single day. I'm going to try to give you like a tiny sampling of what I have witnessed here.
Okay.
This is a post on the primary subreddit by one of the most prominent, well-respected members of the community, guys who like is responsible for the initial theories in early 2021 that led to the cult.
Okay, so it's from the subreddit Super Stonk. Nice. It says, "This is about to get very interesting. We're on the brink of a serious change in the markets. The dominoes are falling. Rehypothecated assets are nowhere to be found, and everyone is scrambling. What you're reading about in the news regarding bank runs, Credit Suisse, Citadel, SVP, FTX, the Fed running a deficit for the first time ever, CMBS and MBS failing, Evergrande going tips up, the Bank of Japan and every other central bank for that matter, ... yield curve inversions on and on. That was one sentence. All of these are symptoms. We did our homework years ago. We were gaslit using the same tactics they've been using for decades, but we're not wrong. We were early. The OG apes know my words are true. Everything is an illusion until it all falls apart. And that's exactly where we are. Ladies and gentlemen, the next couple months will reveal the master's true hand. We will see the cards laid upon the table as they collapse from the house on which they were built. The final boss is nigh. My spacesuit is on. Diamond fucking hands. Peter, I do not understand this. This is yes, yes, no at this point.
What do you need explained? I thought this would be a good introduction to the mind scrambling nature of reading posts in this community.
Yeah.
Again, this is one of the smart guys,
right?
Like in their own universe. A couple key terms. He uses the term apes. They refer to themselves as apes. That is a Planet of the Apes reference.
Okay.
Because at one point, one of the super apes says, apes together strong.
Oh, no.
My spacesuit is on is just the stock is going into outer space. It's going to the moon. It's shooting up.
Okay.
Diamond hands are a modern iteration of a investing term that means that you won't sell when things get shaky. You have strong hands. You're not going
to
sell.
Oh, okay. I hold on to my gems.
Everything else is self-explanatory, of course. I always compare this stuff to QAnon in my mind because they are sort of like similarly decentralized conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
And so you see a lot of the same characteristics. The language that is vague, the conspiracy is like massive, right?
Yeah.
They're talking about FTX and SVB and all these major financial institutions. And of course, it's all subsumed by the GameStop conspiracy in their minds.
Structurally, what they're doing is they're pointing to real world events like the collapse of FTX or whatever, and like using it as evidence. I mean, like, look, it's all connected.
I want to talk about that exact thing because I think that this is like an important part of conspiracy psychology, because in a vacuum, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But then to them, the collapse of the financial system due to instability and corruption and the conspiracy theory around GameStop are the same thing.
Yeah.
Right? Like they didn't arrive at the conspiracy theory through rational analysis. They're drawn to it because it aligns with and affirms their pre-existing belief that the financial system is hopelessly corrupt and unstable.
Which potentially it is, but it's like they're making specific claims about that.
That's one of the worst parts about this conspiracy is that like you can make pretty legitimate complaints about the structures of the financial system.
Yeah.
And somehow you have swung and missed at a catastrophic scale.
Yeah.
I think at the end of the day, their belief that GameStop stock will squeeze into the millions of dollars per share, it's symbolic, right? It's like a narrative extension of their pre-existing beliefs about the unfairness of the economic system and their hope that the righteous will be delivered and like good will triumph over evil. You know, there's a real sort of sadness to some of this stuff in the micro because like there are posts that are like, I have purchased GameStop stock with my last dollar and I'm going to keep doing it until this works because I don't have any hope outside of this. Like people say that expressly. And then it's also sad in the macro because it's like there's a vaguely understandable part of this where you're just staring at this like incomprehensible financial system. And so you're looking for answers, right? And a way to defeat it.
Peter, question. As a lurker on Superstonk, do you see much overlap with like the actual QAnon? Like are there references to like, you know, child trafficking or adrenochrome or...
No, it's uncommon to see that sort of shit in the Superstonk community. However, it is a little more common to see this theory in the QAnon community. If I had to pick a general political alignment for these folks, it would be vaguely left of center.
But that's almost worse because if there was a lot of overlap with QAnon, you could say like, well, whatever. It's the same like 3% of the population and they're QAnon weirdos and they're GameStop weirdos and whatever.
Thanks for saying 3% instead of like 30, which it probably is.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I know. But this implies that like there's a distinct community of GameStop weirdos that are like just increasing the number of like fucking weirdos that we have like bouncing around the political system at this point.
Yeah. And it's not a small group. The subreddit is coming up on 900,000 members.
Ooh.
I mentioned that one of their tactics is directly registering shares. We can tell from the public filings that there are nearly 200,000 individuals who have done that.
Okay.
That is something that is logistically annoying as hell to do.
Oh, yeah.
So that's, I think, what you're looking at in terms of people that are like committed.
Oh, but that's large. That's a large number.
It is a large number. And that's a fact that I use to sort of push back against anyone who's like, well, how many people actually believe this?
Yeah.
I'm like, let me fucking tell you. It's not a small number.
Yeah.
I'm going to go over some of the other sort of like high level main bullet points of the conspiracy. Mm-hmm. So Ryan Cohen, the chairperson who was the co-founder of Chewy, messianic figure to them.
Okay.
As is Keith Gill, the original investor guy, even though he has not posted publicly anywhere in 2 years.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that dude took a middle-class life, made the right bet, got a little bit lucky, and is now wildly wealthy. And he was like, yeah, I'm done.
Yeah, you know? Man.
He probably glanced at these subreddits and was like, oh, no, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out for sure.
Any rich asshole who just gets off the internet, I'll take it. After watching Elon's trajectory for the last 10 years, I'm like, take your money and go to the beach, man. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't do it. You give me $30 million right now, I am getting louder and more annoying. Guaranteed. I'm staying. I'm getting Twitter Blue verified.
I'll be the most online.
So anyway, GameStop management has never really substantively commented on any of the conspiratorial components here.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about this. What has their approach been to this?
They keep it at arm's length.
Okay.
They will occasionally make comments that are like, you know, we're glad that like a lot of retail investors are like enthusiastic about GameStop, like stuff like that. It's very wink wink in my view.
Right.
I think it's a little bit shady considering like the stakes here, which are a lot of people investing their life savings.
Yeah.
It would be very unlikely that GameStop would be even potentially solvent right now without this.
Yeah, this is like propping up their stock price ultimately, right? Because it's a bunch of people buying in.
Yeah, massive influx of capital to them.
Yeah.
Ryan Cohen, in their mind, in the mind of the average conspiracist, is fully aware of what's going on and is leading their army to victory over the evil hedge funds, right?
Yes.
They will often attempt to decipher his tweets as if they are coded messages.
Oh, no. This is the QAnon thing.
Also extra funny because Ryan Cohen is essentially a sub-Elon Musk level shit poster.
Oh, yeah.
Who literally just tweets like poop emojis and dick jokes. This has led to some of the most deeply absurd posts you'll ever see.
Love it.
In January of this year, and I found this after like 2 minutes of searching, there was a sincere post titled "The Link Between Ryan Cohen's Poop/Boner Tweets and the Stock Price."
Yes. Poop/boner.
By the way, I should say there are members of this community who are like, this is silly.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's true of almost every conspiracy, that there is someone, even decent-sized groups of people being like, I believe X, Y is too far, right? It's like a thesis of ship. You could remove any part of the belief, but the structural center holds.
Right. It gives you the sense that, like, this is an ideologically diverse community where, like, some people are reading into the poop emojis and some people don't buy it. It's like, that's not meaningful debate.
All right. So you have these messianic figures, especially in Ryan Cohen, and then you have Ken Griffin, the mega billionaire CEO of Citadel, who is almost like a satanic figure to them.
Oh, no.
They call him a financial terrorist. Posts tracking the movement of his private plane are common.
Okay.
You can see the undercurrent of violent sentiment pop up.
Yeah.
Now, Ken Griffin is a extremely wealthy Republican donor.
Mm-hmm.
So file him under the people I am least sympathetic to.
Yeah.
But it's still weird to witness their obsession with him.
Are you familiar with the bitch eating crackers syndrome?
No.
It's basically when you hate someone so much that literally anything they do,
and you're like, oh, this bitch eating crackers.
Yeah. Like, look, this bitch eating crackers. And it's like a form of derangement where like you can't assess anybody's behavior in any normal way.
Right.
Once you get into bitch eating crackers territory, it's like actually quite scary because there's no way to like unspiral you from that.
Right. I sent you something.
Okay.
It's a Reddit post.
Okay.
And I want you to just sort of describe what you're looking at.
Oh, no. Okay. So this is also from Super Stonk. It says, DTCC lit up like a Christmas tree on Sunday, buckle up. And then, yeah, it's a photo of like a random, I guess, just like office building in New York City. Someone standing on the street taking a photo of a building.
The DTCC is a clearinghouse.
Okay.
One of the conspirators in their minds.
Okay.
And what this is a picture of an office building at night with its lights on.
Mm-hmm.
And it has, as you can see, nearly 8,000 upvotes on Reddit.
Oh, God.
The reason is because really since the inception of this cult, one of the things that they've become sort of obsessed with is the idea that their opponents are scrambling at all times to sort of like put out the fire
right. That
their revolution is causing.
Right. We're on to you and you're freaking out, basically. Yeah.
There was a guy who took a drone and flew it around Citadel's HQ and would post the videos.
Oh.
It's a securities company with like young finance people working long hours. So you would occasionally see some people.
Right.
And like you'd be watching these videos and everyone in the comments is like, they are panicking. They are freaking out. We are in control.
Okay.
Once they found what looked like a couple of like 20 somethings doing cocaine at 1 a.m.
Okay.
I will say it did look like they were probably doing cocaine. And I was like, this is funny because I can't imagine sneaking cocaine with your bro in the office at your like 100 hour a week job. And then someone posts drone footage of it on the internet. The idea that these folks are like up at night dealing with their shit is very sort of affirming to people in the community.
It's almost like sports. They're all kind of participating in the same thing.
Mike, anytime you look at a social phenomenon you don't understand, you call it sports. You're like,
yeah, 100%. This is as foreign to me as like people who watch baseball, Peter. It's all the same. You can tell that like it's fulfilling a purpose for them, right? It's like, I'm bored. I'm going to check in on the subreddit. Ooh, they found some lights on. Mm-hmm. And that's like the biggest problem with it is that like it's kind of fun to do this.
And I have seen people say, I don't believe all this shit. It's just fun.
Yeah.
Like part of what makes the sort of ironic detachment internet culture so appealing is that you can sort of straddle that line between I am seriously a believer in this conspiracy and I am just fucking around.
Yeah.
You know? And it's as an observer, very difficult to know who's who, even though I think you can say that both camps exist in large numbers.
Right. It's like the old thing of like guys asking their girlfriend to have a threesome, like quote unquote, as a joke.
Yeah.
Unless she says yes, in which case it's not a joke.
I don't want to just like keep rattling off what they do in these subreddits day to day. But a common thing is they just buy shit at GameStop and then post their receipts. So they're like, I'm supporting the company.
Oh,
like they'll just buy batteries at GameStop.
That's weird behavior.
Oh, it's so weird. There are sort of like two types of these guys that go into the GameStops. There's a GameStop subreddit that is actually just the employees.
Mm.
Some of these guys go into the GameStop and are just nice to the employees. And they're like, hey, you know, here's some, you know, trying to improve morale at the company, you know?
Yeah.
And the other half just like are like, hey, I'm checking in on my company. It's like weird shit like that where like they sort of talk down to the employees.
Yeah.
Anyway, the last thing I will say about these communities is that it's very crucial to understand that they believe that hedge funds, et cetera, pay people to spread doubt about their theories.
Okay.
So if you push back enough, you will be quickly dismissed as a paid shill.
I love it.
And the term shill is like their across the board term for doubters of any type.
I have a friend who's a nurse and he talks about how just like he has like deranged anti-vaxxers come in and just like scream at him like once a week. And it's like, oh, this is just like part of like the fabric of American life now. That if you work any kind of frontline position, it's like, oh, you just have to deal with like fucking weirdos.
One thing that is actually quite essential to this whole fiasco that I have not talked about, mostly due to time constraints, is that nearly identical conspiracies have sprung up around other stocks.
Oh.
The most notable is AMC, the movie theater chain.
What?
Which was another heavily shorted stock in January 2021 that investors tried to target. So
okay.
A lot of people realized I'm a little late on the GameStop play, right? It's the end of January. The price is already up a bunch, but what's next?
Right.
The community there has a lot of overlap with the GameStop folks, but
There are also many people who believe that like one stock is the true source of the conspiracy and the other is not.
Gosh, there's like debate between them, the weirdos.
Yeah, but and I want to be clear though, the conspiracy is identical.
Right.
The naked shorting, the stock squeeze stuff, it's all the same. The main difference is that the CEO of AMC speaks publicly about this and speaks to the investors. And he has outright said, like, I have never seen any evidence of phantom shares.
Okay.
And people on the subreddits are like, he has to say that.
Yeah, exactly. if you listen to the pauses.
It's what he's not saying.
Yeah.
The most recent stock to get this treatment, the conspiracy treatment, is Bed Bath & Beyond.
Okay.
Always the dumbest possible company, Mike.
Can people download a lotion?
So the reason why it became a target for the community is it was also very heavily shorted. And then GameStop chairman Ryan Cohen, who again, they revere as a hero and a god, bought a large stake in the company last year, betting on a potential turnaround.
Okay.
Almost the same exact thing played out. Retail investors threw in their money. The stock was like $5 or $6 at the time. It gets run up to nearly $30 a share.
Okay.
And then shortly after, it completely collapsed. Ryan Cohen withdrew his money at some point on the way up. And the stock collapses because Bed Bath & Beyond was going bankrupt.
Yeah, it's a mall brand. We can't do this one by one through all the mall brands, like Foot Locker, Sunglass Hut.
So basically any person with common sense could tell that Bed Bath & Beyond only had a few months left. The company was openly talking about how they were staving off bankruptcy.
Right.
Meanwhile, on the Bed Bath & Beyond meme stock subreddit, they were talking about how there was like a miracle in the works.
Okay.
And then last month they went bankrupt.
Yeah.
So I gotta say, as a bit of a voyeur in all of this, it's been a fun few weeks.
You love doing the I told you so of this like online derangement.
I do. And I sort of wish that they weren't losing so much money.
Yeah.
Again, I said the shares were like up in the 20s, near $30 at one point. I believe it is now trading at 20 cents.
Oh, shit. Okay. So it's really toast.
I mean, people got rinsed. It's no joke. And it's essentially a speed run of what is happening with some of these other stocks.
Right.
Earlier, I mentioned when prophecy fails, and I don't want to harp too much on it because it's an antiquated work of social psychology that a lot of people think was not the most methodologically sound. But I sort of witnessed the core concept play out where bankruptcy hits and you have a bunch of people be like, I got played, I'm out.
Yeah.
But now, if you go over to the subreddit, it's all the true believers because all of the people who were skeptics have left.
Yeah.
The only people remaining are the people who are like, bankruptcy is just part of the plan.
Yeah, it goes down to 20 cents, buy low, and then it's going to boom again, and we're all going to be millionaires.
And they've become obsessed with bankruptcy success stories. Like Hertz went into bankruptcy a few years ago because of the pandemic.
Okay.
But that was a very specific situation
because
the pandemic was like a very obvious temporary crunch on Hertz's ability to do business.
Right.
But, you know, they're latching on to every possible shred of hope that they can.
Right.
They add this layer of like conspiratorial nonsense where nothing is as it seems, which is extra bizarre because Bed Bath & Beyond is like publicly filing documents being like, we are on the brink of bankruptcy. And then it hits and they're like, yeah, we filed for bankruptcy. And all of the people in these communities were like, what? We've been had.
Yeah.
It's like, no, yeah. No.
This is maybe an overshare, but this reminds me of when I was in my 20s and like really bad at dating. I would like go on two dates with somebody and then I'd be telling my friends like, yeah, we went on two dates. And then now he's just like not answering my text messages. And my friends would be like trying to be supportive. Like they thought it was nice. They'd be like, oh, I'm sure he's into you.
Mm-hmm.
You should definitely keep texting him. And then like a week would go by and I'd be like, yeah, I texted him a bunch more times and he's like, please don't contact me again. My friends are like, oh, he's just saying that because of like how much he fears, like how much he likes you. No, you can, sometimes things are exactly the way that they look.
Right. They are telling themselves a story and this aligns with that story. And so they want it to be true. You right. wanted it to be true that the guy liked you and was just busy or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you embrace that a little bit for the sake of your own self-esteem.
Yeah.
And these guys are doing that, but they're also throwing away their inheritance or whatever at the same time.
Listeners who think that we're going to cover He's Just Not That Into You don't realize that I endorse every single aspect of that book.
I am sure that that book is full of dumbass shit, but as a standalone piece of advice, I can't even tell you how many times I've wanted to tell my friends, male and female, that basic line, yep. right?
It's not supportive to tell somebody like, no, he's secretly into you. It's like, no, when somebody's into you, it's not hard to tell.
That's why we will never disparage that cool book that has no problems at all.
We finally found one. It's perfect.
Yeah. That's our final episode. Will be called The Perfect Book. And it's just...
And it will be He's Just Not That Into You.
It's just He's Just Not That Into You. And we're like, the whole time, we're like, girl.
We're just going, mm-hmm, and reading excerpts.
Even more surreal than the fact that this is continuing to happen is that when I started looking into this conspiracy, I found out that all of this has happened before. Have you ever heard of CMKM Diamonds?
What? No.
Okay. In the mid-aughts, there was a company. They said that they had acquired certain mineral claims, mm-hmm. and they conducted advertising through unorthodox methods like buying ads on race cars.
Okay.
They also allegedly paid people in stock to promote the company online. But they did not do anything productive with their mining claims because this was not at its core a mining operation. This was a fraud operation.
Okay.
The company fraudulently issued unregistered stock, which was sold on the open markets. The stock traded for well below a penny a share, but they compensated for that by issuing hundreds of billions of shares. The volume of stock being traded was enormous, and that draws attention from regulators and investors. And so what they did, according to the government, was cultivate rumors that the stock was the target of widespread naked short selling.
Oh.
Much of their diehard community, which they had fostered through their aggressive and unorthodox promotion, believed them and took it as like a call to arms to speak up on the company's behalf.
Okay.
So in 2006, the New York Times writes a little piece about the fraud. The author immediately receives email from crazed fans of the company claiming that his reporting was part of a conspiracy to cover up the real villains, the major financial institutions who were using naked short sales to rip off the American people.
Wow.
The SEC brought actions against the members of the company, who for the most part promptly fled the country. Criminal charges were brought in 2010. To be clear, at the time, in like the mid-aughts, naked short selling was like a sort of a hot topic, which is why it started to get regulated. Mm. What appears to have happened is that these guys grabbed onto that hot topic and used it as a shield.
Right.
The best evidence that they were lying, even if you don't understand anything about naked short selling,
which I do not,
is that the criminal complaints against them alleged a broad array of fraudulent schemes,
okay.
many of which were perfectly comprehensible and relatively simple. They were doing fraud all over the fucking place. It wasn't just that there's like this dispute about whether these naked shorts are real or whether they, you know, issued stock to themselves.
So this is like the GameStop situation if there were no GameStop stores.
That's right.
If it was just someone who said this existed and it does not.
You know, it's interesting. They say first is tragedy, then is farce, but we went farce first here. So trading is halted in 2006. Company as a public entity functionally does not exist after this point. But after the criminal charges are brought, a group of diehard investors still didn't believe it, and they brought a lawsuit against members of the SEC.
No way.
Alleging a massive government and industry-wide conspiracy and asking for damages of $3.79 trillion. So there are message boards for disgruntled CMKM shareholders who believe that this was all a conspiracy theory. Active to this day.
Fuck off.
I was like deep in the GameStop and AMC conspiracy stuff for well over a year when I stumbled upon this story. And the feeling I got was like, remember in The Shining when Jack Nicholson is in the bathroom with the ghost and he's like, you've always been the caretaker. That was the same basic vibe I was getting reading this story. Like people even within the community don't realize that this is not new, that this is a repackaged version of a conspiracy theory propagated by some outright fraudsters over 15 years ago.
Why do you think stocks have become a target for this? It seems like there's a weird sort of sameness.
Yeah.
Do you think it's just because like this appeals to men?
What? Men? The most rational gender? If I had to just like throw a few real broad brush guesses out there, I would say, A, you have money involved where people get very passionate. Two, if you become... I don't know why I did A and two. I know that A and B, if you become invested in a given stock and watch its stock price from day to day, it is irrational.
Yeah.
Like your stock can go down 7% in a day without anything changing in the company or the broader economy. And that's not rational. The company's not worth that much less in the span of 24 hours. What's happening is that the market is approximating the true value of a company over time to the best of its ability, blah, 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
I also think the machinations of the markets, of market makers, of clearinghouses, of brokerages are so technical and so opaque that it's easy for conspiracy theories to spring up about what's happening behind the scenes.
I guess it's like the whole thing is this sense of injustice that like I should have gotten rich off of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then that sense of aggrievement just makes you totally immune to the facts and like makes you discount the fact that like this is everybody in the stock market. You just might lose money.
Yeah. I think that you can look at the output of the financial system and know that it's unfair.
Yeah.
But then you look at it and you don't know exactly why to a T, right?
Right.
In the GameStop situation, these people got hosed, right? And then someone comes along and tells you what you suspected, what you felt in your heart, right? That this was unfair.
Right.
And that they can explain what exactly happened and how you will be made not just whole, but more than whole.
So we're basically just like hurtling into a future in which this just continues to happen. And there's just a nonstop supply of fucking weirdos who latch onto these stocks and feel this sense of entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, people who bought a fucking lottery ticket and didn't win.
Right.
And that sense of disappointment curdles into this like entire worldview.
Yeah.
Great.
That's why it's very important to just hunker down and buy Bitcoin. You know?